It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this week this is an album brought out in 1991 on Metal Blade, and it's by Armored Saint. It's called Symbol of Salvation. This was the last album before they disappeared off the face of the planet for a bit, and the singer went and joined Anthrax and stuff for a bit, I believe. John Bush, the Bush, we love a bit of Bush. I've got into them since we got sent, you know, when we got sent that their last album. It was a couple of years ago now, wasn't it? And then we spoke to the bassist, and I really liked that. I really liked that album.
We spoke to John as well.
Yeah,
you remember?
We spoke to John.
We spoke to Joey when the album came out, and then we spoke to John when the live album came out. And I, and credit where it's due, ladies and gentlemen, we kicked off the idea that John Bush touring with a band playing just his era of Anthrax, and that went on Blabbermouth, and now he gets asked about that every fucking interview he does. Well, that started right here.
So he probably fucking hates us now. That fucking question never stopped.
I thought, instead of asking him for the millionth time if he's going to rejoin Anthrax, which he's not going to do, I thought maybe do that, because that seems the thing to do now. If you was in a band, but you're not in that band anymore, you tour playing your era of a certain band. Who's doing it now? You've got David Vincent from Morbid Angel does it, first four albums. What's his name? Tim Rowans does the two albums he did with Priest, because Priest don't play them. Glenn Hughes from Deep Purple. He's currently touring at the moment doing the three or four albums, whatever it did, with Deep Purple.
Even Guns N' Roses played the shit that Axl come up with on that fucking terrible album. Some of the songs were okay, but they still pay homage to it and play the odd occasional song.
It's not a bad album, really. I mean, it's got...
It's so disjointed.
But so was Use Your Illusion, really.
It could have been condensed into one, but yeah, that was a period in my life where that was an important set of double albums for me. That got me through.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not a Chinese democracy, fucking advocate. No, that sounded political. No, I'm not a fucking, I don't think it's a fucking masterpiece or anything like that. I just think it's got some good stuff on it.
There is some good stuff. It is almost certainly overproduced.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, fucking
too much going on.
How much time did he spend on that album as well?
I know. And he should have just got back to the original band. They should have got over themselves. They'd be a lot fucking richer and a lot better, I think, if he just got his shit together. Back to Armored
Saint.
Because we do love a tangent. I enjoyed the last album, and then you said, well, let's do this one. I went, okay, looking forward to it. Like the newer stuff, let's go back and delve a bit deeper. So that's why I've listened to it. When did you first hear this?
Do you know what? I actually got into this album. I'd always heard of Armored Saint, and I knew I was into the John Bush era of Anthrax. I got into Anthrax whilst John Bush was in the band. Mm. So when you get into a band, I say like the new album that you get to, that's your album, as we've spoke about before. So John Bush was my singer, if you know what I mean. He was my Doctor Who, my Bond. But I knew he was in a band called Armored Saint before, and I know they were featured in Hellraiser 3, but never actually checked anything out by him, because you could never find their CDs anywhere. And it was only when the internet came along. And it was actually watching our friend Ralph Vieira's YouTube channel that he did a review of this particular album, and this was really my hook. And I got this album off the back of that review video, and bit by bit, because of Amazon, pieced the collection together. In fact, no, that's a slight lie. In 2010, the album La Raza had come out, and I bought that new, not knowing any, I knew who Armored Saint were. I knew the relevance. It was the first time I'd ever seen anything by Armored Saint in the thing. It was a new album, and I thought, fuck it, check that out. So I'd actually got into La Raza, and then a year or two later got into Symbol of Salvation because it looked like the best place to start with the earlier stuff, and then over the years piece the collection together over the coming years, a CD here, a CD there. And now I'm a fully fledged fan that's got everything they've done. I love Armored Saint. And I'm looking forward to the new album coming out later this year.
I did like the last album, and that's another one that's on random rotation. And do you know what pisses me off about Spotify? I'm going to have a little rant about it. I've added all their albums to Spotify on my liked list. Why the fuck does it keep playing the interviews with fucking Baldy fella from Metal Blade? Why would I want to listen to a spoken word interview on Spotify when I'm walking down the street? Please, someone inform Spotify, stop fucking playing it. I can't be arsed going through and finding the interview disc. I think it's out on an album, isn't it?
Special edition of this album.
Yeah, and it keeps coming up. A brilliant song like Megadeth, Come On. And then as I'm walking up the beach before, fucking you're the Metal Blade guy waffling along, and I'm just like, for fuck's sake, get off my phone, you prick. So stop it, Spotify. But yeah, I liked them, and I was going into this album thinking, cool, this should be good, because I've heard a couple of the songs anyway besides the spoken word shit, which annoys me. But yeah, some of the songs I know already before I heard the full album.
Oh, you did? Yeah,
yeah.
Is that from back in the day?
No, that's from now. It's on me because I added them to Spotify, and all the albums appear in my like thing. That's why I keep getting the stupid fucking interview ones as well. So yeah, I know a couple from that. So
well, the interview is worth listening to because there is quite a story behind this. In fact, I touched on it when we interviewed Joey back 5 years ago, 2015. That album came out. Jeez.
We're getting on now. I've lost my hair. I had hair when we started this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Yeah, but no, it's a bit of a tale of adversity, really. I mean, Armored Saint, they had bad luck with their record label. They weren't marketed properly. They were kind of thrown in the whole thrash. They were thrown in with thrash, basically, and they weren't a thrash band. They were much more of a traditional heavy metal band. And they were far more inspired by sort of British and European metal than they were American. They had a lot more in common with Thin Lizzy, for example, than they did Metallica or Megadeth. Of Cults as well, little tidbit. A lot of people know this, but I always find this fascinating to go over. Both John Bush and Joey Vera both turned down places in Metallica. John Bush was offered to sing for Metallica in the early formation of the band. James Hetfield just wanted to play guitar, and he said, "No, thank you. My band have got a record label deal, so I'm going to stick with my band." Thanks. Little did he know. And then when Cliff Burton died, although this story apparently he was offered the place and he turned it down. No, he was called, "Do you want to audition for the band?" And they probably called about 20 other people that day. So it was kind of apparently that story was quite exaggerated. But, so they did three very good, very underrated albums. And then they came to demo in this album. And then their guitarist at the time, David Pritchard, I think that's his name, unfortunately got leukemia. And he completed the demos. With leukemia, I didn't realise this, but apparently you need a donor. I don't know if it's for bone marrow or...
Yeah, I think it's marrow.
Yeah, and he was an orphan. So the first people you go to is actually your parents, and then second in line is your siblings, and then anyone as close to related to you as possible, and then apart from that, they have to find a stranger who's as close to your bloodline as possible. But because he was an orphan, he had no direct relatives, so finding a donor was difficult. Unfortunately, he passed away, and it was actually... Now, the first three albums weren't... it's well documented. They weren't... they weren't... What's the word? I'm trying to think. Help me
Kelly. Promoted well at all.
They weren't pushed.
No, and they fucked up a lot of things as well. I mean, Raising Fear is another fantastic album. And if depending on how this review goes, we maybe do that on, further down the line. The second track on it is a Lynyrd Skynyrd cover. Totally unnecessary. Why does it need to be the second song on the album? Nothing to do with the band, the record label did it. They recorded that apparently as a B-side, and they went, no, 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 stick it on the album, second track. Bang. Little things like that. So anyway, Brian Slagle was always a fan of the band and always thought they were underrated and undervalued and felt like he could have done a better job with them had they been on Metal Blade. So when this came up, David Pritchard dies, unfortunately, and he steps in with a band and goes, look, these songs, he hears the demos and says, these songs are far too good to not release and put out properly. You're going to do a proper album. We're going to record this properly. We're going to do it right. I'm going to pay for it, put it on my label, promote it properly. Let's do this. So in that time, they got back together with their previous guitarists. It gets a bit funny because they're a four-piece for a little bit. I don't know, a five-piece, but either way, Jeff Duncan and Phil Sandoval come back into the band and record these songs properly. And I believe a couple of David Pritchard's solos worked into the song. So he is actually on a couple of the songs playing solos. So going through the lyrics, there's songs like Dropping Like Flies, which is, they basically realised this was going to be the last album they were going to do. You know, nod, nod, wink, wink. So they kind of went, let's go out with a bang. So there's songs like Dropping Like Flies, which is like going out with a middle finger, because that's all about record companies. And then there's some sadder songs, like Another Day, which is basically, we'll get to that when the thing, basically, it's a sorry to say goodbye song, you know? So it's a lot of, they knew this was going to be the last album, it's kind of over. But Brian Slagle stepped in and went, no, this album needs to happen. So it's a good story about, you know, going against the grain, going against, you know, a tale of adversity, really. It's like the 300 marching into thing. Fuck it, we're going to lose, but we're going to fight anyway, sort of thing. And it all worked out in the end anyway, so it's all good.
So let's talk about the cover. At first glance, I thought it was a vagina.
Well, you know.
No, because like it looks like the lips. Oh, like it just at out the corner of my eye went, just, hang on, and then looked, and then oh yeah, it's not. But yeah, it kind of looked like a vagina. And maybe I'm obsessed with vaginas at the moment, but no, moving away from the vagina thing. Yeah, it's just a. It's not the best cover in the world, but yeah, it kind of looks like a vag.
Well, you know, there's me doing all my research, trying to give a nice pointing thing to the thing, and then you just go, the front cover looks like a vagina.
Well, it does. At first glance, it looks like a, you know, bit of labia going on. Still there. I'm saying. Come on, you must be able to see it. It's like opened out like vagina.
No, it's a picture frame. It looks like a picture. Or a mirror.
All right, then.
With a naked body in the middle, by the way.
Well, there you go. So we're getting closer.
Yeah.
But just
well, it's not a naked body, actually. She's wearing some stuff. But yeah.
Ah, so there's actually no vagina in the vagina picture.
There is no vagina, no.
I'm very upset. But anyway, yeah, so it's not really amazing. Does what it says on the tin. Standard, bog standard fucking album cover for me. Not an exciting there.
I think it looks like the main menu of an old 80s computer game. The Armored Saint logo looks like...
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? And then, walk forward 5 paces and
where's
kill the
symbol
dragon.
Of salvation, it looks like it would say press start.
Yeah, and the bang in the middle. You're sitting there with your joystick, giving the buttons a bash.
Listen, that's I don't want to so know what you do see, so holding your joystick, looking at labias.
I used to waggle that fucker like a motherfucker. Oh, actually, dear. There was this game on the Commodore Amiga where you had a joystick, right? And you'd have the joystick, and it was a porn one. And the quicker you would wobble the joystick, the quicker the little video animation of some guy getting a tit wank would go. So this, so you'd see it, and the one was going, hey, you'd waggle it quicker, and then yeah, it would play quicker
on the Amiga.
I had and do you know who I got that off? Funnily enough, I got that off the corner shop guy. He lent me all his discs, and he went, yeah, do you want to lend them? Some of them were really good. And I was like, what's he on about? And I went, oh yeah, I seen the wank game. And he just started laughing. He went, yeah, it's funny, innit? I went, no. So, yeah.
Are we recording on Skype, by the way? Are you recording your end?
No, I've got the Skype recorder on the go as well.
Oh, that's what I say. Yeah, Skype, yeah. Mm. And we got all the city going right here.
Aya.
Right, so, yeah, let's go for it then. First track in, Rain of Fire.
I like the opening riff. It reminds me of a montage from the 80s. John Bush can sing like a motherfucker. And I do like the riff mix up in and around a minute. And the song for me is all about John Bush nailing the vocals. And I do like the change up about 2 minutes. And he does do really catchy hooks. That's something that will continue on as we progress through the album. It's full of catchy hooks. Sound-wise, I'll concentrate on that a bit more when I've heard more, but there is issues with it. But again, for a good opening track, good little opener, catchy hooks, and yeah, I enjoyed the first track. It wasn't bad for me.
Yeah, this, to me, it captures perfectly. I said they weren't a fresh band, but there is sort of freshy elements in the guitar playing, but this is a classic, traditional 80s-flavoured heavy metal track, and it does kind of bring to mind a little bit of cop rock on that time as well. But yeah, great riffs, great catchiness. Just, I love that. But yeah, John Bush is on fire on this track. John Bush is, I think this is one of his greatest, from a vocal perspective, it was one of his greatest performances ever. He's screaming, he's hitting high notes. Great chorus as well. Yeah, perfect opener to an album. And a great video as well. It's pretty basic. It's just them playing in a club, black and white footage, but still, really great video that captures the atmosphere of the album.
It's a good little track for me. And moving on to Dropping Like Flies, little drum intro, and I do like his vocals. They got some half decent riffs here. They have got a style which they stick to, and I do like the little change up. It's about 1:50 in. And then again, it's catchy hooks. It's good music. It's a toe tapper. It's got like catchy little hooks. The recording quality isn't that good, but it's not as bad as others released around the same time. I'm gonna concentrate a bit more on that a bit later on. But yeah, I do like the second track too. And so far, so good for me. I'm enjoying what we've got so far. Good stuff.
Yeah. Again, I really like the bass on this as well. It really carries the song. Great guitar licks as well, just thrown around. It's not so much riffy, it's just chords just thrown around. But again, really good chorus. John Bush's high notes during that as well. Fun revenge is sweet as pie!
He hasn't. I've got a set of lungs, hasn't he?
Yeah, really good solo as well. And yeah, just a really good subject matter as well. They kind of, a lot of record labels were going under at this point, and they were taking a lot of pleasure watching it all fall apart because they've been fucked over by a load of them. So, good little subject matter.
Yeah, definitely. The thing is, though, it's kind of, especially with rock and metal, it's kind of like a lot of the especially Metal Blades as well, they've swallowed up anyone who's anyone. The between them, Nuclear Blast, and like a couple of others, there isn't much in the way of record companies that do metal. There's just like three or four main ones. All the others are peripheral, really.
Yeah, one thing with Metal Blade, though, I mean, I don't like everything they put out, but
no,
it all does come from a good place. I mean, Brian Slagle started that label from nothing on his own. All he ever wanted to do was just put out a couple of records that no one else was. It's ended up becoming this big thing that it is. It's not something that he planned. It's just something that he ran with. And it's still run by that one guy. It's still him. And he is still a fan. It is all done from a fan's point of view.
Yeah.
And he, every album that does come out on that label is one that he will stand by. From a, he's like, first and foremost, do I like it? And they're, again, they're one of the only few record labels I know of anyway, where you have to prove that you are a metaler to work for them. It's like, no, you, only metalers can work here. No
he
one.
Sounds like, he sounds like the type of guy, rather than go and fuck off in his big house and wank off to weird porn with cocaine, he would actually go out and watch the gigs, and his excitement is going to see the new bands and going to listen to new music.
Yeah, I mean,
when we spoke to him, he seemed generally excited about music in general. And
yeah.
That's what you need when you run a record company. You can't just do it for a business. You have to have love to make it work, I think.
That's what I'm saying. He's the one guy that's actually, he's how someone who runs a record label should be. And the guy discovered, you know, it's because of him. We've got Metallica, Slayer, Cannibal Corpse. I mean, yeah, Mel Blanc put out the first two Slayer albums. The whole of Cannibal Corpse's catalogue. And yeah, if it wasn't for that first compilation he put out, that had Metallica's demo track on it. The only reason Metallica didn't sign to him was because they were offered a label. They were offered a deal by, is it Megaforce?
Yeah.
And Lars even come up to him and went, look, we've been offered this and they're offering us that much. And he just said, I can't match that. Go for it. You know, like, I'm glad you're doing well. So sort of is to it.
Yeah, it's not so, bitter about it.
Hats off to him. Hats off to him. You know, I think I've got a lot of respect for the guy.
Passionate about what he does, and when you're passionate about what you do, it's never a job.
Yeah,
and it's true.
And even with this album, you know, he saw the band on their arse, and he went, "No, I'll do it. I'll step in." You know,
nice. Seems like a nice guy. So, Last Train Home. I like the change of pace. It's a bit mellow, this one. Again, catchy hooks. But the vocals now, I'm starting to get a little bit irked with it. They're far too low in the mix. And fucking John Bush can sing like a motherfucker. Raise the vocal level. I know he writes some of the lyrics, but not all of them. He's very adept at the hook, though. He's really good at the hooks. It's a great little unit putting out some good music. And Last Train Home is a different changer for me, but it is my favourite song on the album so far. And again, that man can do a hook like nobody's fucking business. Like, only by Anthrax. He continued afterwards doing it too. He's really good at getting the hooks and sinking them into you. His writing style, his singing style seems to promote a catchy hook. And it keeps happening in this album time and time again.
Yeah, I mean, this song is an anthem. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And if I was, to this day, I've never seen Armored Saint live, much to my shame. I did have tickets to them once, but couldn't make it to the gig. But I can see this is the song that they would close with. If I was in the band, I would be. I think it plays like a hit single. It's got that pop sensibility. I can imagine the whole crowd singing along to the chorus, and during that last chorus, I wouldn't even sing. I'd just throw the mic out and just watch the crowd sing along as well. It's got that instantly fucking memorable chorus. I love the. It's just like a. It plays like a rock song rather than a metal song as well. I really
it's
like the way.
It's definitely verging towards rock than metal. You
yeah. I like the clean guitars during the verse. And there's even like this weird sort of ringing as well. Like he's making the guitar scream in the background, which plays its own little weird melody in the background as well. So it's totally multi-layered. But yeah, it's just a total feel-good song. It's a really good drive song as well. And yeah, just when that chorus kicks in, there's that little pause before the chorus then kicks in. And yeah, you just can't help but sing along to it. Can't help but easily be put in a good mood. And yeah, a fantastic song.
Tribal dance, little tribal bashy drum, Sepultura type intro. Funky though, it's different opener. And then it's into the riff. Again, the vocals sound a bit distant. But I'm more fond of the previous song. It seems a little bit more quality. The solos do a job on this one that seems a bit more fluid. And I do love the little bass fills. I wasn't overly convinced with this song when it started, but as it progressed, it got better, and it was won me over as it went along. And in the end, I was enjoying this song. When we got to the end, I was like, okay, it didn't start as well as I thought it could, but it got there in the end. something different, and it worked out for them as we got to the end of the song for me.
Yeah, they got your weird little percussion. I don't know if it's got Cuban or something like that at the beginning.
Maracas. But,
it's a bit of an odd song, but it works. And they talk about this in their interview on the third disc. Just sort of, they experimented really and fucked about. And in the end, they weren't even sure if they liked it or wanted to put it on the album. But it was actually Brian Slager went, no, put it on. I can't remember actually if it was, have I lost you? Are you still there?
I'm still here. Right, you're just waiting for me, Mike, to make a noise, except I've replaced the cable.
Something just came up, and I thought, fuck. And then the whole screen went, I clicked no, and then everything came back. So it's fine.
Ah.
Yeah, but it's an odd song that it shouldn't work, but it kind of does, if that makes sense. And I can't remember if it was this song or Hanging Judge. But there's one of those songs where the bands didn't actually want to include it on the album. And it actually, Brian Slager went, if you don't put that song on the album, there ain't going to be an album. I'm not putting
it
out. Yeah. He was like, you're fucking putting it on because I like that one. So that was quite.
Well, he's paying for it. He gets to choose. Dealer's choice.
But I thought that was quite a good. And they went, like, no, fair enough. You were right in the end. Because I think there's quite a few songs where you go through history where they weren't sure. And someone actually sat and went, no, that's got to go on. And then it ended up being like a big hit. I know Dio, the song Rainbow in the Dark, he was adamant he didn't like the song and didn't want it on the album. And the whole band, and everyone went, you're fucking wrong. Like, this is a great song. And I remember seeing him in the video and thank God, they didn't listen. I was wrong. And I'm glad to say I was wrong because it ended up being a great song. So,
It's definitely grew on me as it went along. But yeah.
It's an odd little rhythm, it's an odd little structure, but it all just kind of ties together in the chorus. The travel days.
Yeah, we do get there in the end. We do. Yeah, I agree. The Truth Always Hurts. I like the opening riff, slower play song. It's got like a bluesy riff and a groove to it.
Yeah.
Again, the hooks are very good. He belts out vocals, which can make a mediocre song sound better. And he really does lift the band at times. Nice little solo. It's little cheeky fills, bass fills again. The song isn't as good as what come before here, but it's not bad. It has got a ballsy, bluesy, cock rock feel to it. But other than that, this is not a highlight for me. This is just a little bit of killer filler for me. But it's not a bad song. But it's just, I don't know, the hooks are good. That stands out, and the cheeky bass fills. But other than that, it's not offering as much as I'd want from it, if I'm honest.
I think this is a nice, breezy, sunny, catchy, kind of happy rock song. Very 80s. I like the main riff. And it just kind of rolls along. Kind of reminds me of something like I don't want to say Van Halen, but...
Mm.
I'll tell you what this reminds me of. This wouldn't have sounded out of place in the soundtrack to Wayne's World or maybe Bill and Ted as they're walking into like a donut shop or when they're walking from one scene to the other going, hey, yeah, this is such and such a place. You can imagine like Bill and Ted walking into like a music shop or Wayne's World, they're walking into some club that they're going to. They're walking from one place to the other and this is just kind of in the background in the soundtrack somewhere. It reminds me of just that, dude, you remember that time of films when...
Oh, yeah.
Airheads, that was another one.
Yeah, remember Dude, Airheads? Where's My Car?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit later, but...
Yeah.
Fucking hell, I remember seeing that in the cinema. That film sucked, by the way.
Yeah,
that
was
the shittest film.
It was a piece of shit.
But yeah, think Wayne's World, think Airheads, think Bill and Ted. And yeah, just that time, really. It just reminds me of that time. And again, we... Carrying on from last week's episode, we wanted summer, breezy, light. That was what we was going for. And this
walking
is again
along the beach.
Yeah, this is a nice beach rock driving along in the summer, chilled out, cool song.
So Half Drawn Bridge, it's a melodic song. There's no vocals. I don't like them too often, and this is the case. Even though the music is good, I just don't really. I think it's more a part of the next song.
Yeah,
and
it is,
they should just stick it together rather than have it as its own entity. Just make the next song a bit longer. if you need to put a fucking loads of musical bit on it, because it does not inform me when it's a separate song. And I'm not fans of these type of songs in general past a certain time frame. And again, it's not work for me, this one. So just if you're going to have it separate, I'd rather it wasn't there.
It's just a moody little intro to the next song. I quite like the bass, that little bass that goes in there with a solo going over the top of it. I'm not bothered one way or the other with it. But yeah, leads into another song, Another Day, which I think is a highlight of the album. Again, I refer to that interview where they say that the song wasn't directly about David at the time of writing it, but then in hindsight, it is. And it gives a poignant sort of message, really, that time's the most valuable thing you have, and the richest man in the world can't buy more of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And just that one line, just please let me buy another day, you know? Just give me one more day, but it's one thing you can't have. But a very melancholy, chilled out song. This builds up a bit towards the end, but no, I think it's a beautiful song.
So it's melancholy for me for a different reason, is because I don't like it. The vocals are good, but the production lets it down. I'm just not into it. I'm not sure why. I don't know why it's not working for me. It's kind of like Marmite for me. And I'm starting to find this album a little bit of a mixed bag. And this one seems to drone on a bit. And the bits that I don't particularly like about the song is repetitive. I'm sure it means a lot to the band. And it's not the song that I will most remember from the album. I just find myself getting a little bit irked with it at this stage, and it has been such a mixed bag for me at times, this album. And I'm wanting to like it, and I'm disappointed in myself for not liking it as much as I probably should. But opinions are like arseholes. I'm just not into this song.
Never mind. Right, what are we on to now?
I really tried.
It's all right, don't have
Symbol
to.
Of Salvation, the album.
Opinions are like arseholes. Everyone's got one and they all stink.
Yep, mine stinks of, I don't know, nutty bread, because I eat nutty bread often.
Nutty bread.
Right, Symbol of Salvation. I like the opening riff. The bass playing along and can be heard okay in the mix. Good little hook. They do tend to overuse the hooks a little bit too much, I think. It does affect the quality of the songs for me. It's all A to B to C at times. Not bad solos, but I think the two people that stand up as the bass player and the singer, they both really hold their own quite well. I like the bass bit around 2 minutes 49, but yeah, it's a lot better than the last song, because I felt that droned on for me. But yeah, there's definitely... There's normally you get one standout person in a band and you go, fuck me, he's great, or he does that. But here, the blessed in a way, because the bass player can handle it, twats out decent riffs, and John Bush can sing like a motherfucker. So yeah, this is a lot better song for me, and it's kind of cleaned the palette of the last nutty shit.
This to me is, I think it's pretty much a winning streak up until the... This kind of opens the second half, I suppose. It's not a bad song by any stretch, but it's kind of the one that doesn't really stand out as much as the previous tracks to me. Still got a really catchy, memorable chorus, though, and it still, it distinguishes itself. It's kind of got a lot going on, but also a lot of nothing going on at the same time. But still, the chorus holds it all together, and it's... It carries the album on nicely.
Do you find they're a bit formulaic?
I'm gonna come
back to that in a bit about what I mean about that, because there's certain things that I've noticed after listening to this and other songs that they've done, which I'm all for that. If you like an AC/DC and stuff, you're gonna have a way of doing stuff, and I can understand that and I respect it. But I just find at times it can be detrimental to them, that that they are like that.
I suppose they can be, but I do think if you line up all their albums and listen to them album by album, there is a evolution throughout the catalogue, and I do think they do change over the years. I mean, and not only that, there's a lot of years taken into account, and sometimes there's like 10-year gaps between albums. But I do think I kind of divide Armored Saint between the metal years and the hard rock years. I find their later albums, especially like 2010 onwards. I mean, La Raza, for example, that's a rock album. But yeah. Any song on that can be played on Planet Rock. And I wouldn't even consider it a metal album. This I do consider metal in the lightest sort of 80s hair metal. Even though they're not hair metal, they haven't got that corny singing about sex and drugs kind of thing that but you know what I mean. And but yeah, I would say the first four albums are metal and then it goes on to sort of more light rock. But I think they always got something good going on and they've always got good songs. Are they formulaic? Well, I could say, yeah, but not that particularly stands out in an obvious way. And it's not something I would hold against them either, because that would be half my fucking record collection gone. Right? Cannibal Corpse, AC/DC, Slayer.
When it works, it works. But I think they tend to over rely on it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't like everything by Armored Saint, but the stuff I do like, I really like. If that makes
I get you. Hanging Judge. Again, I don't feel like I'm enjoying it as much as I thought I would. The opening riff is okay, nothing major. I do like the drum and bass bit, though. It builds it up better. As the song goes along, I tend to find myself enjoying it a bit better, though. It's like a car race scene from a 90s film, like two kids on the road trying to race each other, and they're like, one's got a big hairdo, the other one's got fucking whatever, has a fucking evil-looking face because he's the bad guy. It's not a bad song. It's definitely a step up from the previous one. The solos aren't too bad either. It's a good song, and again, the hooks, I'll have the catchy hooks stuck in my head, and it'll pop into my head randomly. Like when you just wake up first thing in the morning, you'll have an Armored Saint hook in your head. It's one of them bands that you'll wake up and a mess. That song I was on about when we recorded the last show, that's one that pops into my head now and again. Continue to mess. It's Armored Saint. They have a habit of being an earworm, and this is one of them songs which it'll find you at random times. You'll be like, "Fuck me! How did that get there?" That's Armored Saint for you.
Yeah, I mean, horror fans, you might this song might feel a bit familiar to you, and that's because Armored Saint appear in the film Hellraiser 3. And they're the band playing in the club. And they're playing this song. If it was me, I would have released this song as a single. I may have opened with Rain of Fire. I definitely would have released Last Train Home as a single. And if things were going really well, maybe because of putting out a ballad, I might put that another day. But I would definitely consider putting this one out as well. If I was in the band tomorrow, if John Bush couldn't make a gig for some reason, and they rang me up and said, "Joe, will you come sing for Armored Saint?" I go, "Let me check my diary." Yeah. But if they said, "Right, what are we going to play from Similar Salvation?" I'll probably say, "Right, we've got to do Rain of Fire. We've got to do Last Train Home. Maybe chuck in another day if we have to. But we definitely need to play Hanging Judge." I love the introduction when it kicks in. I love that little lick with the guitar. Da-da-da-da. As it rings, and then you've got that main fucking riff. And yeah, I think Rain of Fire is a great soundtrack to a montage while a boxer is training for the fight at the end.
There is montage music going on in this album for sure.
And this is a good, to a car chase or maybe just a running chase. Hey, put that back. That's the guy. Quick. And then there's running.
Running through fucking...
Jumping over fences.
Melons.
Jumping over things,
Knocking over the cart of oranges. The usual.
Yeah, exactly. But no, just a really good, catchy, rolling song as well. Really good bass on this track as well, I think. And sorry if the sound went a bit shit then. I'll just lean back.
Yeah, and again, great soloing all the way through it. There's lots going on in this song, and it's all tied together really well. And yeah, this is one of my favourite songs on the album, definitely. It's fantastic.
There's the odd occasional solo that is pretty good, but I find it a little mediocre at times on this album. I don't know what it is. It's just there, and it's not standing out as much. When you've got the bass going mad and fucking Bush belting out the tracks, I would think that would be impetus to the guitarist to go, well, fuck me, I've got to step my game up. And it doesn't feel like he has. I just don't get that from him at times. It kind of feels like, oh, well, that fits, I'll just leave it in. I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just a cunt. Warzone, I've heard this one on random play and I really like the intro. It's definitely a walking faster track for me. And it feels like the quality of the album has picked up towards the end for me, which it kind of needed because it was getting a little bit lost. I like the riff and the double kick all together. And yeah, this one snuck in and it stole the best track on the album for me. Really like Warzone. I've heard it a few times before we went to review it as well on random play. And yeah, good track, great music.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, things start kind of waning a little bit towards the end, but there's nothing particularly wrong with this song, but it's not a particular standout track to it either. But I can listen to the album in a whole and be okay with this track, but it's not one I particularly skip to, particularly to play. There isn't even that much of a hooky chorus in this one either. But
no, not really.
But nothing particularly, wrong with it either. So, bit of filler, but nothing terrible.
Burning question. Faster pace and a nice little riff. Not a fan of the lyrics to this one. Something seems slightly off. I do like a bit of the riffs. It feels like a B-side. The hooks. This is where I'm going to come back to the hooks. The hooks that are written for quite a few of the tracks on this album have to be the name of the song. I don't know if you've noticed, but it is. Like, it'll be Burning Question, and then it'll be like, whatever, Hanging Judge or whatever later on. They do tend to use the name of the song as the hook that they sing. And it's quite noticeable for me. I don't know about this one. I like the music, but vocally, it's kind of uninspiring and a bit limp. It is a tale of two different songs. If we could say, take the lyrics and go back at it and put something else over it, then I'd probably like it a bit better. It just seems odd, and it seems like it doesn't fit. It's like the wrong. It's trying to put the fucking middle piece of the jigsaw on the corner. It's not working for me. I just can't get my head around it.
We're in the same sort of zone, really, but this is an improvement on Warzone. I think it's got some good good guitarist on this. It reminds me a little bit of what's his name? The Ozzy Osbourne guy. Oh, fuck's sake, Randy Rhoads. With the kind of tremolo picking. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
But yeah, again,
and down picking and.
This has got a much better chorus in this one as well, and John Bush does some particularly good high notes on this, which I think is quite in Paris. But again, it's nothing like the highlights on the beginning of the album, but it's a good track nonetheless. Again, this one passes things nicely.
Yeah, I find the vocals crap, which is annoying for someone who's very talented. Tainted Past. It's a long song, 7 minutes and 5 seconds, slow melodic opening. I've heard this one a few times. I do like the little bass fills on it, and it is a big change up from everything else. Sound quality-wise, it's kind of like something changed here because the bass has more back end and the sound's changed up. Somehow, again, the hooks come out and get you here. I like this song. It's not fast, but it feels pacey even with the acoustic guitars playing along. And I think for me, this should be the track that finishes the album. It's a good track. Stick this on the end. And I feel if we had to leave the next song on, it would be better if we swapped and played this now. I do like the meandering slow part around 3 minutes and 35 seconds. It's very moody. But again, I'm going to repeat myself. We should have finished on this album with this track, even if it means getting rid of the next. This should have closed it because it's different, it's moody, it's melodic, yet it seems fast. And I again, this is another track that I actually quite like, and close the album with this and I think we're done on a good bit.
Yeah, I like the again, we've got something a bit different at the beginning with the acoustic introduction. Some nice sort of Spanish guitar going on there.
Yeah, you know? A bit of flamenco.
That sort of melody that runs through is that the main riff, sorry, once the song gets going. It goes in, there's a lot of peaks and valleys in this song, and yeah, you've got that nice little moody atmospheric pick in the middle that you mentioned earlier. And yeah, I think you've got a point, actually. This probably would have been a better suitor to end the album, especially the way the song ends, where the way reduces down to those final little notes and then just rings out in that sort of echo. But yeah,
it's very moody, and that's why I think it would serve to close the album off.
Yeah,
what comes after, I think there's something about that it's just
I would agree with you, actually. I do, but yeah,
I'm quite good at spotting a closer. I don't know why that is, but I think that's the case.
I do think as well. I mean, you've got 12. I mean, that little.
It's a long album as well, really. Track listing wise, like 12 tracks.
That mini track aside, 12. And I suppose that's because it was everything that the guitarist, who was no longer with us, put down. I suppose they probably didn't want to drop any of it because it was all.
Because it meant something, I suppose. I understand it, but...
Plus, it was the last thing that they had going, so they probably just went, fuck it, just throw everything at people. Plus, as well, 1991, I guess we may have been in that area where many an album suffered around this time because you, rather than 40 minutes to fill up an LP, you get like a fucking 90 minutes where you can fill up a CD and... Heart's in the right place. A lot of bands said, well, why don't we give people value for their money? And give them more music for their buck, because the album stays, you know, that was the intention with a lot of bands, although a lot of, it wasn't really appreciated, it did kind of backfire, but people's hearts were in the right place when they did that. I'm just being devil's advocate here and just justifying, maybe this could drop a track or two, but
I think it's on there for sentimentality and personal problems and losing a member of the band. I think that's why it's complete. But I think if we look at it through a more
objective,
critical eye,
we
could probably shave off a couple of songs at the very least. So it takes us on to Spineless. Faster paced song. I don't mind the opening riff. It's very fist pumping rock music. Again, repeat the name of the song for the hook. Stop that. I definitely think we should finish the album on this. This is a B-side. It does nothing from me. I did like the intro. Then they parked the rest of the song in Shit Street and left it in Shit Street. And they stayed there. I'm not liking this at all. Tainted Past should have finished it. This song is uninspired. And maybe a B-side if you're lucky.
Yeah, I'll probably tend to agree with you there. Again, I'm not particularly anything against it. But yeah, Tainted Past would have been a much better album closer. Tainted Past is the album is the finish, while this is the epilogue, shall we say. And that little riff in the middle of the song.
It's like,
I can just see you sort of them playing this maybe at the end of the show. And this would be the sort of show that they play in the encore. And you're just quickly clicking. Are they going to finish soon? Is there only going to be a song after this? I've got a train to catch. Fuck. It looks like people are starting to empty out. The back lights have just come on. Yeah, this is probably the best time to go. They're ringing out.
This is kebab time, this.
Yeah.
Before the train finishes.
So, we breezed through that, really. 13 tracks.
Yeah.
I wanted
to like
summary.
It more than what I have. I really did, because I like Armored Saint, but I don't know. Because there's a deep story behind it, because we spoke about it before we actually recorded this one, about, you know, everything that went on behind with the guy dying of leukemia and stuff. And I wanted to like it more because it meant something to the musicians themselves. And I am a soft cunt as well. And I am a very, very emotionally driven person. And stuff that has stories and has sentimental value to me, I'll tend to go back to. And I'm actually unhappy that I didn't like it more. And that's why I'm going to give it 6 out of 10. The hooks are awesome at times, and there is some really good music, but there's some of it just really turns me off, and I find myself slightly cringy with it. But there is some really good tracks on it, and I'm giving it 6 out of 10 because of that. and I want to give it more, and I want it to be better than what it is, because it means something to like the bands as well. But I don't know. I think six is as much as I can give it, and I'm not liking myself for it. I hate myself because of this album, Joe. I'm just saying.
I've got to say, I do think six is a bit harsh. I don't think it's going to be. You don't have to do things. Maybe a solid seven, but
I'm giving it a six because there's some songs that really just get on me fucking tit, and I'm listening to them and I'm trying to get through them, and after like the second or third listen throughout the week, going to work or whatever, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, not this one again. And I'm getting cranky with it. And I don't like getting cranky with me more than albums, because life is cranky enough when you've only had one cup of coffee and you're fucking power walking to work in the morning. You know, it's bad enough when the album's making you fucking think, oh, fuck off. And that's what it did to me at times. But there is some really good songs in here, and it shouldn't be overlooked because of giving it a six. It's just that it's slightly got on me tits at times.
I would, you know, I'm not sentimental with the album at all. I think it's got a pretty good backstory, but I think Angel, I'm just looking at bands on the shelf there.
We've moved on.
I was looking at, I was considering Death Angel for a future episode. But I think Armored Saint are, I really like the Armored Saint because there's, they were school friends. They started out as friends that formed a band, and I think you've got a really interesting and really good solid back catalogue. I think March of the Saints it's not a perfect debut, but it's quite a naive, energetic, you know, sort of. It's a one of those debut albums where they're just throwing everything at you. I think what's it? Thingy Nomad. What's the album called? Delirious Nomad. I think is quite an underrated album. I mean, in metal in general, Raising Fear has got some fucking real hidden gems on the album. It's really good. I think Semblance of Salvation is kind of like their pinnacle. Revelations is quite an underrated record. With that was actually put out while John Bush was still in Anthrax. And that's the thing as well. They kind of finished with Semblance of Salvation, and then just like the little gang in that film, they kind of put their hands together, and every so often they kind of always made time to rekindle with their first true love and put an album out. So Revelation was put out in 2000, I believe. Then in 2010, they put out La Raza, whilst things had gone south with Anthrax at that point. And yeah, they always kind of split up, but then eventually come back together to do another record. And It's the story of Armored Saint. If anyone does write their biography, it is a tale of long-standing friendship, and it's a bit heartwarming. I think they're good guys, and they're a good band. And yeah, not everything they put out is masterpieces, but it's always worth a listen. I give Symbol of Salvation an 8 out of 10. It's actually one of my favourite albums. It's not high on the list of my favourite albums, but it is on the list. And for the couple of, fucking microphone, a couple of songs that don't quite live up to it, I think the other songs more than make up for it.
I want to like it more because I know that you really like it, and I know there is a big emotional attachment for you to it as well. And I really, really tried with it as well, and I'm like, oh, fuck off! I'm getting annoyed thinking about when I was getting annoyed walking to work with it on, and I'm like, for fuck's sake.
I think a lot of when you like an album comes into when you hear it as well. Mm.
I've been in a good mood fairly this week. I think it's caught me when I was getting hit with the drizzly rain, because every fucking morning this week, I've been soaked in that drizzly pissy rain where I can't wear my glasses because fuck you, rain says no, Alan, you may not wear glasses because in 10 seconds you will not be able to see out the fuckers. Maybe it's had left a bit of a bitter taste in my mouth, but yeah, I've been a bit pissy this morning, this week, so maybe that hasn't helped. But having listened to it again when I'm typing out the notes today, I can see why I was annoyed. I want to like it more than I have, but there's only so much I can give, man. There's only so much. I'm shaking my fist. I'm getting emotional. There's only so much I can give, man. and I couldn't give it any more than a 6. I've got an idea which we're going to discuss during the show rather than off the show. We were talking about albums that I will happily review a Korn album only if I can only listen to it once. And I have another stipulation. And this is where you're getting a plug as well. Since you now have a YouTube channel, I will only do a Korn album if I can listen to it once, if I can drink, and if we do it live on YouTube.
Yeah, we can do like a commentary thing, like listen reacting whilst listening to it.
Well, my reaction's going to be brutal because I fucking hate Korn. And there has to be some kind of live YouTube streamy thingy going on, because if I'm gonna lay out this much hate, it has to be live, I think.
All right. You have to pick an album though, because I don't know what album the best one.
I don't know, and I hate them all. So follow the leader. Let's just do that one. All
right.
Because I hate all.
Why don't
you
do like their new album or something like that, just to see if you still hate them?
I definitely still hate them. I definitely still hate them. I've always hated them, and I'm always going to continue to hate them. So that's why we should make it a special occasion where I get really fucking drunk and shout at them.
What's it? You met. What the fuck? We should do that.
It's just having a spasticated fit. It's spasticated. Yeah. Spastic is not a word we use anymore, and it's not very politically correct, but he just spaz out to fuck. And I think I'd have to drink to do it. There has to be drink involved in potentially fucking cannabis.
We'll do that one night on a stream. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Once I get me advanced streaming.
Yeah, I'll work it out if I host it or whatever. It doesn't mind. I've got the RSN's computer, and that's why I upgraded it to be a bit more beastly. But tell people where to find your YouTubes and any magazine stuff you've got going on.
Yeah, I've got a new YouTube channel, 3 videos in. I'm just about to do another one. I might do that at the weekend. That's called Nightmare Cabin, because I'm in a cabin and I've got Evil Dead.
And I do like your sword on the wall. It's very apt.
Yeah. And
you need some more horror stuff for your shack of doom.
No. This is metal, pure and simple.
Man. No, you gotta have a little bit of pinhead stuff there, man. It would just work well
I've got Pazuzu Evil on the Dead shelf there.
Yeah,
Pazuzu.
I like it's got an Evil Dead feel to it, man.
Yeah, I've got a couple of bits and bobs, but yeah, check out Nightmare Cabin on YouTube. I've done the highlights of 2020 so far. I've done a little video on Iron Age, which I think is a really underrated album. And also, who did I do? I did a guide to Onslaught. I went through all of Onslaught's albums up until the present album. I'm going to be doing loads of ones like that as well. I want to go through Morbid Angel and Nile. And I'll probably do a death one.
It'd be wrong not to be fair.
I'll be going to do it. I'm doing the one on Holy Terror in the next couple of days. Oppressor, another really underrated band. And yeah, so yeah, Nightmare Cabin. Like and subscribe. Check out Metal Legion magazine, all one word, 1L. I've been working fucking hard on the next edition of Metal Legion. I'm going to be working even harder on the next one as well. Loads of good stuff coming up on that. So yeah, apart from that, bollocks.
Yeah, bollocks to you, listener. If you like this show, share this show. Don't be a cunt. At Rock Show Online on Twitter, The Rock Show Online on Facebook. Share this shit. Thank you very much for listening. This has been a mixed bag for me. It's like a bag of Revels. If you don't know and you're American, it's a bag of candy where some is coffee and some is like weird fucking taste, and some is just chocolate, and you don't know what you're gonna get. You can
sometimes got a Malteser,
yeah, and Maltesers are lovely, and then you've got a coffee one, and it fucks with your shit.
No, but as I'm getting older, I like the coffee ones. It's the orange ones, they're
God.
Fucking weird.
No, the orange ones are nice, man. It's like, ooh, a bit of orange. Ooh, that's nice. I've enjoyed this one. It's been a mixed bag for me, but good little show. Thanks very much for listening. See you later.